Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us this morning. Before we begin this time of praise and worship, if you'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin, just to highlight a couple of the announcements there. Today, at the end of the service, is the deadline to turn in your Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. If you have any, or if you're looking to do that, just remember that this is the last day to get it turned in, and they will be collected immediately at the end of the service. Also, after the worship service today, we will be hanging the greens. And if you are free for, you know, an hour and a half, we invite you to stay and take part in decorating the church with the Christmas spirit and getting ready for the coming of our risen Christ, Lord Jesus, as we begin the celebration or the expectation of the coming of Christ. And lastly, we invite everyone to join us at Faith United Methodist Church this evening at 7 p.m. for the Community Thanksgiving Service. And all the area churches will be taking part. And so if you are free and are looking for just a celebration to give thanks, and there are so many reasons, friends, that we are thankful here today. And so come out and join us at Faith United Methodist Church at 7, and may we just enjoy the time of thanksgiving. If you would, bow your heads and your hearts, and let's open this time of worship with a time of giving thanks and prayer here this morning. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the grace that you offer to us each and every day. Jesus, we invite you into this holy service. When we invite you to take part and to touch our minds and open our hearts and impact our lives in ways that we don't even see that you will do yet. And so, Lord, we commit this service into your care. We bless you and we thank you. We honor you this day. In the holy name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. Gracious God, we are so thankful that you did pay the debt that we all owed to you, a perfect God, a holy God, a wonderful God. And yet you, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our merciful coming King, you so graciously and lovingly laid down your life and paid that debt for us. And so, Jesus, we thank you for that today. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness and for being our Redeemer, for redeeming us from a life of purposelessness, for redeeming us from a life of being lost and forever separated from you, and for redeeming us from a life of hopelessness. And so, Jesus, we thank you again. We bless you this day. We honor you this day. And we give you our hearts, our minds, our souls, and we give you this time today. In the glorious and the wondrous name of Christ, the risen Savior, we pray. Amen. At this time, I'm going to invite all the children to come forward. And today is the last day for the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. And so we want all the kids that are here to go in the back and grab a shoebox and bring it forward. And then all of us, we're going to join together in prayer and pray a blessing over these shoeboxes. Friends, it is true that Jesus does love you and he loves me and he loves all the kids that are going to receive these shoeboxes all around the world. And our hope and our prayer is and needs to be that these shoeboxes come right down the center aisle, guys. Come right down the center aisle. Okay, bring it all the way up here, buddy. And just set them right down in front of there. Okay. Our hope and our prayer is that boxes that have been filled with love would communicate the love of a Lord God who does truly love all people. Okay, and then I'm going to ask the kids that once all the boxes are up here to stay up here with me. So once they're all done, okay, stay up here. Why don't you set those down? Set those on the floor there, buddy. I'm going to set these down a little bit. Not going to set them all the way on the floor, Johnny. That's too high. Okay, let's gather around. I think I counted up 30-some boxes. And to think that 30-some kids are going to be blessed. Blessed with these shoeboxes, but also blessed with the gospel of the risen Christ. And we are going to pray. And would one of you like to pray a blessing over these shoeboxes? Anyone here? John? Come on. Come on over here. Okay, so let us bow our heads and our hearts and let us pray with John.
Dear Lord, I just hope that all these children love these boxes and that they make it there and they will have so much fun and that they will be blessed with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, junior worship is now dismissed. Thank you, John. That was a wonderful prayer. For all of those in kindergarten through fifth grade, we have a special ministry prepared especially for you. This morning for our scripture reading, we're going to do something a little bit different here today. We're going to read from the 136th Psalm, but we're going to do it responsively. And so you can either turn your attention to the screen or you can turn in your pew Bible and find the Psalm 136. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 and then verse, I believe, 24 or 26. I will read the first half of the verse and then you all as the congregation will read the last half. And so let us begin this time of reading the scripture. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth upon the waters. To him who made the great lights. The sun to rule over the day. The moon and stars to rule over the night. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your steadfast love, which truly does endure forever. We bless you now, and Father, I pray that you would just infect our hearts with your steadfast love, that it would saturate our very beings, that this would not be just a rote time of worship, but this would truly be filled with your Holy Spirit and truly moving of our soul and truly grasping of your goodness and of your steadfast love, O God. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We truly do. And so, Father, may your Spirit just beckon unto our very beings this day. And may you be given all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because your steadfast love does endure forever and ever. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. This morning, we are concluding our series titled The Abundant Life. Last week, I began talking about the first of two aspects that will really lead us away from experiencing the abundant life in our spirit, in our soul. Last week, we talked about the need to be forgiving people. This week, I want to talk to you about the other element in life that can really sidetrack us. It can really be the harbinger in our soul. It can be the element that will cause us to not experience God's abundant life. And friends, this element is the element of love, the misplaced devotion of love. You see, there's so many things in this life that we can love, and there's so many things in this life that we do love, and that's not to say that all of these elements and all of these items in life are wrong, but there is one element that we should love There is one who we should love more than anything else, more than anyone else. And friends, that is God. Because in God, when we love Him, we have the anchor for our soul. We have the stability factor of our life. And if we fail to love God more than we love other things, we're going to give our love that we have to other things that are going to take us to places we don't want to go. They're going to keep us longer than what we want to stay. And many times they'll cost us what we're willing to even pay. But I want us to notice the heart of God. And we first see this scripture in Deuteronomy 4, verse 24. And I want you to notice this as we look at Deuteronomy 4, verse 24. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. The first thing that we need to notice is that God is jealous for you. Now I'll say that again. God is jealous for you. He's not jealous of you. There's a huge difference between God being jealous of you and being jealous for you. You see, if I'm jealous of someone or something, I want that, what they have. I want that thing. I want that element. You see, God doesn't want what you have. But He is jealous for you, in meaning that He wants what's best for you. He wants you and me to experience the abundant life. And that is how God is jealous for you and for me. You see, we can be jealous for someone. We're jealous for our kids. We're jealous for those that we love. We're jealous for those that we care about. We're jealous for those ones around us. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians, he says, I have a godly jealousy for you. I certainly hope that those of you who are parents have that godly jealousy for your kids. I certainly hope that you and I have that godly jealousy for one another. You see, my heart is this. I want to see other believers in Christ. I want to see people succeed. I want people to experience the best in life and all that God has to offer you and me. That's why we've been spending time on the abundant life. And we need to get this clear in our minds and our souls and in our hearts that God is jealous for you. The reason all throughout the Old Testament that He puts in these prescriptions of living this way, and even in the New Testament, there are all these prescriptions of put on this and get rid of the sinful nature, is because He's jealous for you and He wants what's best for you. It's not about a set of rules and do's and don'ts. What it is it's about His love, that He wants you to experience what He has for you. That's His heart. That's God's heart. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free from all those things that will encumber, that will entangle you and take you away from that freedom, that abundant life. He wants you to experience what He created you to experience. And that's goodness, that's love, that's peace, that's harmony, that's joy, that's hope. You see, God is so jealous for you. That's the very reason why He sent Jesus to the cross. And this is where it really gets really serious in a real quick way. Because He's so jealous for you. You see, when we think about me being jealous for someone else or me being jealous for you all, you sometimes in our life, in our natural, our lives, in this world, there can be limits. With God, there are no limits. When He says, I am jealous for you, He will go to no limit. He will stop at no length to redeem you. And that's exactly the reason why He sent Jesus to the cross. Because, friends, God is jealous for you. We need to understand that. We need to grasp that. He's jealous that He wants you to experience the best. He doesn't covet what we have. He owns everything. He doesn't worry about the houses or the cars or the bank accounts that we have. God owns the entire universe, but He's jealous for what you and I experience, and He's so jealous that He sent Jesus to the cross. And that's the connection, friends, that we need to see, is when we understand the connection of God, we understand that God seeks to connect us through His love. If we could go to the next slide, please. 1 John 4, verse 8 says, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You see, sometimes we think that God just expresses this jealousy for us in an expression of love, and we sometimes minimize the sacrifice of Christ into this act of love, and sometimes we reduce it down to something other than what it is. And friends, it's so magnificent. It's so beyond our comprehension. It's that God, who is love, gives to you and to me from Himself. It's not what He has or what He possesses. It's Him that is love. And that's what He gives to you. That's how He wants to connect to you and to me. That's how He seeks to connect to the whole world at the cross of Calvary. The love that He is. He seeks to say, here I am. I'm so jealous for you that I want what's best for you. And although that is not possible now before, but in Christ it is now. That's the abundant life. That's what God wants for you and for me. And so we need to understand that it's in Jesus, in Christ, and only in Christ, who is love incarnate. It's God incarnate. Next week, we're going to begin the Advent season. Advent means the anticipation of the coming or the arrival. And December 25th, we're going to anticipate for the next 4 weeks the coming of God, the coming of love. Because Jesus, being God, fully God, He is love because God is love. And so we need to understand that it's that way, in Him and only through who He is, that we connect to Him, and it's because He is love. The second thing that we can see is that we see the magnificent act of this love because Jesus Himself stated that greater love has no man. If we could go to the next slide. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And so, you know, as I mentioned a few moments ago, there are times when there are limits of we say that, hey, I love you, but with God, there are no limits. He says, I'm going to give you all that I am, every fabric and fiber of my being. And that's exactly what Jesus did at Calvary. Beaten beyond the measure of a man, beaten beyond the recognition that he was a human, God in human flesh. He's not going to hold anything back, friends. He's going to give you every aspect of everything that He is and everything that He has at His disposal. It's not what He does. Is He's giving you His love, and He's giving you part of Himself. And so when we wrap our minds around Calvary, when we wrap our minds around God being jealous for you and for me and how He wants the best for you and for me, this is the next scripture is where it gets real personal here. And we see it out of Romans 5:5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. You see, we sometimes think in this world that we are orphans or we're just wandering throughout this world. Do you realize that you and I have something that even Adam and Eve didn't experience in the Garden of Eden? Do you realize that? Now, think about this. Adam and Eve, they walked with God in the cool of the day. They had that intimate fellowship. However, you and I, once we come into Christ and we receive Him as our Lord and Savior, you and I have God in the Holy Spirit that has sealed your heart and your soul for later redemption. You have God in you. I have God in me. And it's through the agent of the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent, that God the Father sent, that lives in you. It's through Him that God's love, meaning God, is poured into you. Now let's translate this into, it is God who has been poured into your hearts, into your minds, into your souls. And so it's not you that is operating in this world, it is God. There's a commercial out lately about talking about shopping and this website, and it has these people that are top of the head just blow out, you know? Have you seen it? You haven't seen it? When I think of this verse and I think about what the whole implications is like that, it's almost as if my mind just goes poof and it blows up. It doesn't make sense. But that's God's love.
That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares for you. He doesn't want you to feel like you've been alienated. He wants you to acknowledge, to experience the abundant life, and it only happens when we accept it is God in you and in me. We have at our disposal all the attributes of the Holy Spirit, all the benefits that God has given to us, all the mercies, all the forgiveness, all the goodness, and all his love. All of him poured into you and into me. So what is God calling us to do? This is where I really want to apply this. You might be sitting there saying, yeah, but that's fine, that's dandy, that's good. Jesus said in Matthew 22, we're going to read this, 22, 35 through 39. He said this, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and talk to you about what those two verses mean, the greatest commandment. But one thing I do want you to know, and I'll ask you this question, how do you spell love? And it's not L-O-V-E, friends. It's T-I-M-E. It's time. There are several authors in several different books that say this. They say that the magic number for an individual to become an expert at something is 10,000 hours. Now, I did some quick math, and I found that that's approximately 416 odd days if you were to do that one thing for 416 days in a row, 24 hours a day. In the world, we call this muscle memory. And that's why an individual that shoots basketball or shoots jump shots or foul shots, and it's the very reason why you don't need to always concentrate. Because if you do something long enough, it's really causing your mind to create a procedural memory. Then your mind tells your muscles what to do. This is the very reason why at one game many years ago, Michael Jordan stood at the foul line and everybody behind the basket were waving all these things trying to distract him. He closed his eyes and shot two and made them both. It's called muscle memory, but it's actually a procedure where your mind knows what muscles to fire and how hard and what to do. So you might be saying, what's that deal with this? You see, in our life, we have the opportunity to allow procedures that this world has conformed us into to dictate and to determine how we act and how we react. You see, we don't hardly ever commit to the time that it takes to allow our actions, to allow our reactions to be changed. What happens in our life is we struggle and we offer up a foxhole prayer to God and say, God, if you will change this, I won't do it. And what happens is God doesn't change it, and then we immediately go right back to our own coping mechanisms and trying to deal with things in our own power, in our own strength, and in our own ability. And it will never work, friends, because it's that 10,000-hour mark. And once you and I hit that 10,000-hour mark, then the procedures of our actions and of our reactions, they're all changed and they are all made into something new. Hear that. Don't give up after the first time. Don't give up after the second time or the third time or the fourth time. 10,000 hours, but don't let that be a discouragement. I can tell you that after the years and years and years, even before I was in ministry, that there were some crazy things that happened in my family. And I was around young people, and my first gut instinct was to bow my head and pray. That's not coming from me, friends. That's coming from God. Well, the scripture says God's love has been poured into your heart. That's coming from God changing the procedures and the actions and reactions in your mind, because I spent so much time, and I don't want to elevate myself here, because the same is at your disposal for you and for me. It doesn't matter. But what happens is, as we tend to spend more time at work, we tend to spend more time in our studies, we tend to spend more time in going and doing things, in hobbies that take our focus away from God, and then we get frustrated when our actions and reactions aren't becoming of what a Christian ought to look like. And it's T-I-M-E. I shared with someone not too long ago that if they were seriously about something, it would show up on their calendar. And I truly believe that. I honestly believe it. If you are serious about something, it will show up on your calendar. You will make an appointment for whatever that thing is. And don't get discouraged and say 10,000 hours, that's a year, 24 hours a day, 416 days. No, take it in small chunks and say, okay, there's 15 minutes, I am that much closer. There's 15 minutes, I'm that much closer. Take it 5 minutes to read the Bible. Grab all the time that you can grab. And when you grab that time, you are saying to God that I love you. And then we can honestly say that when we love the Lord your God with all your heart, it's time, with every fabric of your being, with your mind, when you think upon God and you practice His daily presence, and then with your soul, with your strength, you're pulling towards God. You're saying, I want more of you in my life. I want this out of my life. And friends, at that point, then you will be well on your way. You will be well on your way to experiencing the freedom of your soul when you experience more and more of God being poured into your life, into your heart, because of the T-I-M-E that you commit, which shows your L-O-V-E to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for just the sacrifice that you gave to all of us. And precious Jesus, you are merciful. You are so very gracious. Father, as we ponder this, may we all be willing to sacrifice more time with you. We know that you don't hold anything back. We accept that. And yet we embrace that. And Father, help us. Help us, help us, help us, help us to set aside more time to be with you, to ponder your holy word, to pray to you, and not just to pray a laundry list of items or needs, but to pray to you and to commune with you, to fellowship with you, O Lord. And may our time reflect the love, the love, the love, the love. And when it does, we bless you for the freedom that we will have, the freedom that we have in you, because we will walk in newness of life. We will walk with a renewed sense of purpose, a renewed sense of confidence, a renewed sense of just joy and encouragement. And so, Father, may we accept this challenge to commit more, T-I-M-E, to you. As we enter into this Advent season, may we especially set aside more time that will reflect the L-O-V-E, the love that we have for you. So, Father God, may you be blessed, may you be honored, may you be praised, and may you be worshiped. We thank you and we bless you. In the holy name of Christ, the one who is love incarnate, who loved us so much that he laid down his life for you and for me, may he be blessed in our actions. And all God's people said, amen. As we conclude this time of worship, may you sing with us, Pass It On, which is found on hymn number 507, or you can feel free to read the lyrics on the screen. Let this be our prayer. As we exit this sanctuary, may we pass on God's love that he blessed us with as we enter into this coming week. Friends, it is true that the Lord of love has truly come to you and to me. He has come in Jesus Christ, his Son, your Savior, your coming King. He has come in the agent of the Holy Spirit that he has sealed your heart for later redemption. He has come to you in pouring himself into your heart, soul, and mind. And friends, may we truly take the charge to pass this love along, and may we start by expressing our love for him in our T-I-M-E. And may we truly spend time, quality time, and may he respond, and I know he will. He will respond by giving you more of himself, and he will bless you and honor you, and he will uplift you, and you will begin to experience the abundant life. And it all starts with time. May the God of all grace bless you and keep you. May he bless you with more of his love and more of his peace, more of his joy, and may his abundant zeal saturate your soul. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.